Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I am Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton.
Can't get rid of me.
I've tried. I have not tried.
Do you want to go into that?
I take that back. I have not tried. But I'm glad that you're here and you're with me. We're doing this together because this would not be fun to host by myself. So
thanks. I'm sure you could.
Thanks
do
for
it.
Being here.
Yeah. Like, we're still getting used to hosting it without a third person every time.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Uh-huh. I sometimes miss that. I like having a discussion. So, you know, sometimes we have to force other people to come in the studio, and that's what we've done today.
That's what we've done today. We have in studio with us John Darnell from Global Outreach International. We've had you on before.
That's
so
right.
So it's always a pleasure. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Though I felt like at the beginning I might have been in a conversation I wasn't supposed to be in. Some sort of sibling rivalry here.
Yeah, well, we don't script the beginning, so
whatever happens, happens.
And that happens. So
we are not necessarily trained radio people. No. Like when it comes to like talking on the air. When I first joined AFA and I started working for radio, I said one thing, and that is I'll do everything but talk on the air. And look at me now.
And yeah, the Lord was like, "We'll see about that." But yeah, I mean, that's a good point to bring up. I'm a writer for AFA, so I'm not. This is not what I. You know, this is not my main thing here. I write for The Stand, and you work in the marketing department.
Yes.
So we just come together and collaborate on this, and hopefully people enjoy listening to
it. I hope so.
But it is made better, of course, by John being here.
Thank you.
Again,
it's good to be with you.
Global Outreach International. Why don't you, before we get into our topic, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do with Global?
Yeah. So we are a missions agency. We send and support missionaries. We have 300 people in more than 50 countries around the world. We want to see the good news go to every nation. We want to see it happen this generation. We're young people here in the studio.
We are.
I hope so.
And babies.
We consider ourselves young. We think in our lifetime, I mean, genuinely, we could see the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Mm. And that picture you see in Revelation of every nation, tribe, and tongue being around the throne, man, Lord, we could actually do it.
Yeah.
People, we're thousands of years into this after the Great Commission, but this might actually happen. So we want to see that happen. I would say goals-wise for us, we had 49 new missionaries join in 2023. That's a record
amazing.
For us.
Wow.
So we're excited about what people are doing, where they're going. We want to see 100 new missionaries a year eventually going to the field through Global Outreach. So it's a joy.
And one thing I really love about your ministry is that everything these missionaries raise, they keep for their ministry.
That's right.
They don't give any of it to you.
That's right.
You guys, you raise your own money.
That's right.
So I think that is awesome. And I would love for our listeners to get a chance to know you guys. Mm-hmm. So go to globaloutreach.org. Is that correct?
That's right.
Awesome. I got it right.
Yeah.
If you want to know more about them, and if you can't give financially, I do encourage you to if you can. But if you can't, take time to go and look at the missionaries and pray over them.
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. So a little bit about your background, too. You were out in the field yourself as a missionary before. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that part of your life and how maybe you came to Global?
Yeah. So my wife and I felt called to move to the mission field. And I remember that there's a little bit of a humorous beginning. I'm going to take a little bit of liberty on here. But so we told our church at our missions conference, hey, we feel called to be missionaries. 10 days later, find out we're pregnant with our first child. and everybody wanted to know, are you going to take the baby with you? Mm-hmm. Which I thought that was the funniest question.
That is hilarious. Like you just, no, we're going to leave it. We got
God
somebody
was
to watch
shocked
the baby.
That we were pregnant. God was completely caught off guard.
Right.
I'm joking for the listeners who can't see my face. But we moved to the mission field with a 5-month-old baby with Global Outreach.
Wow.
So we went to work with another Global Outreach family that was connected to our church network and ended up being in Ecuador, being abroad about 5 years.
Wow.
And so we were doing, most of that time, a family ministry there, an adventure camp, so using retreat and camp experiences to serve the Quito, Ecuador area and disciple youth. So we loved it.
Yeah.
We really enjoyed it. And when Global Outreach asked us to move to Tupelo to work in the office, so we're based here in the same city, American Family is, that we just felt like, we could use our experience to help missionaries love them well through their most difficult moments.
Mm.
Sometimes people think missionaries are, they have coffee with Jesus in the morning.
Yeah.
And they're up on, they're these spiritual superheroes. And I have met some of those people. I'm not one of those people. I want to be one day.
Right.
But the reality is there, the things that you go through, mm-hmm. the struggles that you have, take away all of your support system, mm-hmm. your family, your friends, your church, puts you in a different culture where you're having to learn the language and struggle, and it doesn't get better. Like, right. that doesn't make life easier. Mm-hmm. And so we really feel like moving back to the States in late 16 and joining the office staff of the organization, that we really want to help people because mm-hmm. we've been there. We had another child on the field. You know, we've been parents of young children on the mission field. We've missed family. We've struggled with language and culture. We've tried to reach people unsuccessfully. I mean, we've done a lot of those things that we felt like mm-hmm. using those skills in the organization, we could help all 300 missionaries. And then I'll say a little bit about what my wife does. She's the director of Missionary Kids. We think about Missionary Kids like the cans behind a Just Married car. You know,
That's great.
I don't know if people even do that at weddings anymore, but you know, we see this car driving down the road, Just Married, and the cans are, you know, and the church is cheering on mom and dad, like, mm-hmm. good, you're doing this great thing for Jesus. And before mm-hmm. I felt like in missions, you know, Missionary Kids were left behind, not considered, shipped off to boarding school. And you have a lot that for years would leave the faith completely. Mm. And we don't want that.
Right.
You know, we want them to know who they are in Jesus, regardless of where they're planted around the world. We want them to grow up in a thriving relationship with Jesus. And so my wife's done a great job building that program, investing in families, because that's what we're doing. We're supporting missionaries all around the world.
And part of being a missionary, when you're reaching out to people who are unchurched, they mm-hmm. don't know Christ, is showing them what a Christian family looks like. And that includes children.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's kind of odd to go to the field and reach out to these people, and then they're like, well, where are your kids? And like, oh, we shipped them.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. We see them a couple times a year. We do video calls. And to them, you know, they're not really seeing the dynamic of what a Christian family looks like because that children are a part of that.
And yeah, Cedra, that you bring up a great point because we had amazing friends there, Ecuadorian friends, and they threw us a despedida, a goodbye party mm-hmm. when we were leaving, and which was a huge blessing. And, you know, I think as a leader, I don't know if y'all ever experienced this, where you're like, I wonder if they're going to talk about how good of a meeting I led. No, you don't really think that. But you think, like, how good of a leader I am. And all that they talked about was our family and how we loved each other and how we loved them. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing about my job. I've kind of questioned that over the years. Maybe I wasn't very good at it. But just what you're talking about, Cedar, is so important because it is. It's like if people have never seen what a godly family looks like, more is caught than taught. Mm. Okay, so, like, we're living this example out every day of how to love one another and love our children, and what does discipline look like, and how do you do that, and what does being a dad look like in a place where sometimes people don't have dads, and all those sorts of things. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of what our missionaries do is just living the Christian life in another place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I think, too, something that I'm thinking about as you're talking about experiences in other cultures, other countries, something that people here at home who, you know, we're Christians, we go to church, we have our experience in the culture that we're used to, something in it that we aren't, a perspective that we aren't really privy to is that global body of Christ.
Right.
And seeing that, I mean, we know about it theoretically. We understand that, hey, Christians don't just live in America. You know, they don't just speak English and go to, you know, the church down the road. They're all over the place. But the more hands-on, face-to-face connection that missionaries have, I think, is really, really valuable and something that, like Christians like me, I haven't really experienced that before. And so that's why I'm glad that AFA and Global Outreach, we do this project together that we're talking about today, the Orange Letter Campaign, as a way for AFA listeners, AFR listeners to kind of, in a way, reach out and have that experience, of that sense of the global body of Christ.
Yeah.
A little history for the ones who don't know. I think we have some new listeners every day who maybe not know, they may not know what Orange Letter is. So if you go back to 2015, a lot of us believers will remember a video that went out of 21 Christians being beheaded on a beach, and they were all wearing orange jumpsuits. And that's where the Orange Letter came from. That year, we were able to reach the families of those men that were beheaded and send them letters of love and encouragement. And each year we've tried to continue that, mm-hmm. reaching out to persecuted Christians all over the world. And that's why we partner with people like John and Global Outreach, mm-hmm. because they have people all over the world seeing firsthand the persecution yeah. that is happening. And they're trying to work with those people and help them build their faith and keep strong even though the world is pushing against them.
Right.
And we like to take this time to allow the AFR listeners mm-hmm. a chance to reach these people themselves.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you see stories like this and you think, what can I do? Like, I don't have funds and or I don't have the time. I have all this stuff going on. I can't just pick up and, like, what can I do? The words of encouragement mean more than you know. And I bet John can attest to that,
yeah,
as someone who's
sure.
been on the field before. Mm-hmm. But there are places where people are, they feel completely alone. And they're constantly having to fight for the simple basic rights that we enjoy here in the United
yeah.
States. I go to church every time, you know, we have something going on. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, we have a service. Wednesday night, I go to church out in the open without
yeah.
fear of what people will say
mm-hmm.
or what the government will do about it. And that's just not the case for so many around the world. And so this year's big focus is Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And we reached out to our friends at Global to ask them to kind of, like, you know, put their feelers out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there are so many other places that also need the encouragement. And hopefully we'll get the opportunity to reach them in the upcoming years. But this year, that's been our focus.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, there's a lot happening in that area of the world. You know, there are people going to war.
Yeah.
And so the Christians there are suffering every day.
Mm.
So I don't know, John, if you have any words from them or what's going on, you know. But I would love to give you an opportunity right now to kind of shed some light on what's happening to our sisters and brothers there.
Yeah, I think just to speak to some of the things you guys have said, you know, Jordan, you're talking about what us as American believers, what does being a believer look like in another culture?
Mm-hmm.
That's really a hard thing to imagine, because I think in the U.S., we're pretty individualistic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the South, you know, it's like, well, you do you, you know,
yeah.
you kind of have this culture of being about, you know, I'm a quote unquote Christian. I'm using air quotes here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not really, I don't know. I don't know if it really matters to people or not, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go around the world to a different place and think, well, they're not individualistic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I'm having to make a choice.
Yeah.
My entire community, my family. Like when you see in the New Testament, when the jailer comes to Christ, okay, his whole family's baptized. Now, we as Americans might think each one of them prayed a prayer of salvation,
right.
and, you know, like made an individual choice.
Yeah.
Well, the way family works in that culture is it's all of you.
Mm-hmm.
What dad's religion is the religion of the family.
Right.
And that's still like that today. So when people are making a choice to follow Jesus, it's not just impacting their Sunday morning.
Mm-mm.
It impacts if they have a family or not.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts if they're excluded from social circles, from trade, all those sorts of things. So it's just it's hard to even begin to fathom the impact and the cost of following Jesus. So I just plant that as a seed for listeners. As you think about the church around the world, it's not just, hey, you need to go to church. It's, man, what are the consequences of following Jesus, you know? So in Russia, as you think about that, there is an established church. There's Baptist
right.
churches.
Mm-hmm.
One of our missionaries leads, he's a Russian national, and he's a leader in the Baptist church in Russia.
Mm.
And I remember, And this is just it's a blessing to even be a part of this. And you guys at AFR are part of it. Your listeners are part of it through their prayers. But meeting with him on Zoom and seeing the strategy they have to reach their neighboring countries, reach the unreached places in Russia, and to know that there's belief. Sometimes we see the news and we don't think very critically, and we think, okay, Russia bad,
yeah,
Ukraine good, or we're good and they're bad or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like you have people that love Jesus dearly that are in that country sacrificing so that others may know within their country. But the pressure, the freedom that our pastors might have from the pulpit to speak out against a war, you know, we have freedom of speech for the most part, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you do as a pastor
right.
in Russia? So the heat, you know, our guy on the ground there has tried to figure out how do you do ministry without funding.
Mm.
You know, that drives a lot of ministry. How do we get money over there? How do we get it to him?
Yeah.
How do you pastor mothers who are watching husbands and sons sent off to war?
Yeah.
How do you teach on the goodness of God and God's sovereignty at the same time while you're losing your family? How do you minister and serve, you know, in the midst of a conflict when you can't really, it's not like you can really speak out against it? The closest I've seen them come to it really is Mosley praying for peace, you know, and they've had ways to travel and minister to even some of the Ukrainian believers and pastors and churches there to, you know, to be able to encourage them and the churches and what's going on. Last year, I went to Romania.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Well, I guess it was May of 22, so it's been a little more.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
A lot of time's getting away from us. But we're, what, 3 or 4 months into the conflict, and I was able to meet some of the families that were refugees who had fled, you know, that conflict. And the saddest story was, so some of these Christian camps in Romania were receiving refugees. They went from camps to refugee centers very quickly, I mean, overnight. And there was this mom and a little girl, and they spoke Russian, you know, and they couldn't communicate with, or I should say Ukrainian. It's very close, but it's not exactly the same. They couldn't communicate with the Romanian ministry people. But the little girl who was five, met our missionary's little girl, who was like 6 or 7 at the time. And they played and played. They couldn't speak to each other one word that the other one could understand.
Yeah.
But they got the news that the dad and the husband had been killed while they were there in the, you know, in the camp setting. So we just, you know, I know some people listening to this, maybe they have lost a family member in one of the conflicts, you know, in the military, when it's American. Mm-hmm. Some people listening do have a concept of that.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of us, we don't really understand really the grave impact of war and what that has and suffering and that sort of thing. So I just share those little bits of stories in terms of the impact that, you know, sin and a fallen world have, the restrictions that government puts on ministries.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we talk about how God will provide, but what do you say to the widow that, how is she going to provide for feed her kids? You know, so I would say when you're thinking through it and you're praying for it, you know, asking the Lord to have some manifestation of his presence and comfort in the lives of those families, for wisdom for the missionaries and the pastors that are ministering, you know, those sorts of things in the midst of that sort of conflict.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for us to really imagine or even know what to pray sometimes.
Right. Yeah. Well, and this is why we do Orange Letter. Mm. It's because we want to give these listeners and people all around the world a chance to reach out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. If you don't feel like there's anything else you can do, you can do something as simple as write a letter.
Yeah.
And we've tried to make it as simple as possible. If you go to AFR.net beginning Monday, February the 12th, through that entire week to Friday the 16th, you'll be able to go to AFR.net/OLC.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a form that is really easy to follow, and you'll be able to put your letter in that. And then when you do that, we get that, and then we're able to give it to our friends at Global Outreach.
Yeah.
And those letters are able to then be sent to the Christians in Russia. And it is really easy. And if you want to know what to write, I'd say right now, go ahead and start praying about it.
Yeah.
spend some time with the Lord, praying about the words that you say. And it can be as simple, we love you and we're praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
Share some scriptures that have helped you get through hard times, or just anything like that. Simple as that, just a, you know, 200 words or less is what we ask.
Mm-hmm.
And it means a lot. I know it does. I can't imagine being in a place where I'm completely isolated and you feel like, are we alone?
Mm-hmm.
Even me as a believer, I think we've all felt that. Like, are we alone? But can you imagine being completely isolated and people all around you who don't believe what you believe? And not only that, I mean, I know there's people around here that don't believe what I believe. but I can still hold a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And in some of these areas, that is not the case. You mean you can be completely, the word I'm looking for, ostracized.
Yeah, there you
for
go.
For your beliefs. And so this just allows our sisters and brothers mm-hmm. to know from across the world that they're not forgotten and that the Lord is with them as well, and that we and that their sisters and brothers are praying. So go to afr.net/OLC to write your letter beginning this Monday.
This Monday. When's the deadline for that?
The 16th. February 16th.
Okay.
So please get on there and get it. Make it a family activity.
That's right. Yes.
Make it a, show your kids how to be like different. There are different ways where they can be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And this is one of them. So, and I'm going to tell you, we, AFR has given the listeners tons of opportunities to do that with ministries mm-hmm. and they don't let down. They don't let us down.
Right.
You guys have been so great. And every time we present you with an opportunity, like you just pour out all this love and help. And I'm sure there are plenty other ministry leaders that we could reach and they would say the same thing. So this is like this is probably the easiest way for you to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So just take a little bit of time out of your day to go on there and write your letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope, like, just pour them in. Let's go crazy. That is my assignment to all the listeners this
week. Absolutely. We're expecting it. And it strikes me, this is quite a unique situation that we're talking about here, because usually when we talk about things like this, persecuted Christians, like things that come to my mind are like the Middle East or you know, China, or places where there is a particular kind of persecution and a particular kind of situation that is, you know, no, you speak out about, you know, the Lord Jesus, it's immediately to jail. Like it's that, you know, kind of. But Russia is different, where they do have an established church, where Christianity, there is an acceptance there. And my goodness, like even the government has a, you know, like this is how you are officially a Christian.
Right.
So it is different there. But the uniqueness is that what you have here is a situation, a war between two countries in which there's a living church in both of those. And regardless of how we feel about that conflict, I think this is a good opportunity for us to reach out to the Christians in Russia and just say, we are praying for you. We're praying for peace with you, and to keep it encouraging. So one thing I would say is to not interject your opinion about the situation. I know that's very easy because it's a politically heated topic.
That's not what this campaign
this
is about.
This is not what this is about.
These letters are going to your sisters and brothers in Christ who just need encouragement.
Yeah, and they have a better idea.
They don't
of what's
need
going
a
the
they
media.
Don't need a lecture on what's happening, what you've mm-hmm. seen on the news, or anything like that. They're seeing it face to face every day.
Yeah.
So.
Have you ever had that moment? And maybe those listening, you've had that moment where you've felt really down, and someone reached out to you, said, "Hey, I'm thinking about you,"
mm-hmm.
or vice versa. You've had somebody on your heart,
right?
Like, man, this must be the Holy Spirit, because I've got to reach out to that person and act on this feeling and leading that I have. Mm-hmm. And I'm imagining right now there's people thinking, I really want to write, but I don't know if I have time. I don't know if I'm going to, you know. And I promise you, the Lord will use that letter. He's already stirring mm-hmm. something in you, you know. He's going to use that letter, because sometimes we want a physical manifestation or a voice out loud from the Lord, and sometimes he gives us to that, mm-hmm. gives us that thing. But the truth is that he's given us as brothers and sisters in a family, and that one of the ways that people experience God's love the best is through the family, through the human next to them that's mm-hmm. also a child of God. And so I would just say, don't ignore the leading. This is not just Jordan and Cedra and John sitting here saying, hey, you need to write this letter. Like the Spirit, you know, that same come alongside presence that Jesus promised us, that we see Paul talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, like you are playing a role. The Spirit through you is being that come alongside mm-hmm. presence for those suffering believers. Like you have a role, and this is not optional, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It maybe the letter is, but we don't want to give them an out, do we?
The letter's not optional.
The letter's not optional, but this is our role as believers to encourage other believers.
Right, absolutely.
So I'm just going to go ahead and say the website again, because you can't say it too many times.
Right.
If you go to afr.net/OLC, and another website to remember is globaloutreach.org.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, if you just anytime you have a moment,
mm-hmm.
feel free to pull up their website. start looking through their missionaries, and I'd say take a day and pray for that first one, and go to the next. Go in alphabetical order, and take time and pray for all of them and their specific needs, because they're the ones. They're also there on the ground. They're talking to these people. They're seeing firsthand, and they're experiencing it with them, and they need your prayers as well.
And I would say too, on that global outreach page, if you click the flyout menu, the little three little pancake stack in the top right corner, so you'll see short term opportunities. Mm-hmm. And if you click that, so we actually are leading as an organization this year. I'm taking a group to Uganda in March. We have a group going to the Middle East in May. I used to say the country's name. I've learned not to say the country's name anymore.
Right.
We're going to Asia this summer, and then I'm taking a group to Ecuador this fall. And we'll go to the ministry. We worked in NC ministry, so I would imagine. I hope that people listen to say, man, I wonder if I'm supposed to be one of those people actually going and seeing and doing. And so if you click on that flyout menu, you click on short-term opportunities, it's going to show you those trips. You can apply for those trips. You can write a note and say, hey, John, I heard you with Jordan and Cedra, and we would love for you to go with us and see what God's doing all around the world.
Absolutely. So that's globaloutreach.org?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, John, for being on with us today and for, again, partnering with AFA in this. This has been one of our favorite projects to work on and to promote. So thank you so much for that and your heart for the global body of Christ.
Thank you guys for the invitation. It's always a joy to be with you.
Absolutely. And don't forget, guys, go to afa.net.
AFR.net.
Thank you so much. /OLC.
Now, you can go to afa.net, yes, and it'll lead you to all the different websites, including AFR, yes, the Stand magazine. So
you'll be able to find
it.
Just go to afr.net/OLC to write your letter. And, guys, until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.